And welcome back to Coast. We're going to have open lines for you this hour, including the crazy line. That's right. I want to hear the craziest thing that's ever happened in your life. Just check in with us on that. A lot of things going on. Let me give you some program updates, by the way. So as we approach Christmas, here is the schedule for you, and we will be live every night. Don't worry about tapes, folks. Every night. Now, Friday night will be my somewhat Christmas Eve show because I'm on Friday night. We're going to be able to do that. Now, the deal, of course, is that I will do all the holidays if they fall on a regular scheduled work day. And in this very weird time, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are going to be on Saturday and Sunday. So Connie Willis will be looking for Santa on Saturday night, and she'll be doing the Christmas Day night show as well. Then the following week, on New Year's Eve, we'll have a live show for you. And then I'll be on January 1st that night, because that's the first Sunday, and I'm always on the first Sunday of the month. But it's also going to be my 14-year anniversary party, so you're all invited. Bring the champagne. 14 years, and I've had the same staff. They have been with me every step of the way, and we're going to talk a lot about that on Sunday, January 1st. But we've got you covered for the holidays, and lots going on, of course, on this planet. I want you to share some of those stories with us when you check in with me when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget, we take your tweet questions now and your text questions, which we've always been doing. Tom's got that, so we'll be going to the L.A. studios in a moment. A couple times now. We're going to run four questions per hour, so we're doing open lines this hour, of course. Tom will be with us Friday, by the way. You're going to love the program. It's going to be on angels and miracles and open lines and some great elements. Lots of you have written asking if I'm going to play Letter to Michael. We will be doing that, of course. It's traditional. And even though it's not the night before Christmas, Lionel Fanthorpe will be joining us with his rendition of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. So lots going on. Looking forward to it as we bring in the holidays and keep pushing to 2017, which is going to be, I think, a very fascinating year for all of us. And we're so glad that we're with you and you're with us. Let's go to the phones. Joe in the Bronx. Welcome to the program. Hey, Joseph.
Hey, George. How are you, George?
Good, good.
Happy holidays.
You too. You all ready for them?
Yeah, I'm ready for them. your last guest was interesting, and I was trying to get through to her. But, at the beginning of last New Year's Eve, I tried to make a resolution or a goal to make $1 million this year.
Wow.
You know, or my music or, you know, some of my other writing, but I still have 10 days to reach that goal. But
are you close?
I'm sorry?
Are you getting close?
No.
Oh.
Not anywhere near close, unfortunately.
Okay.
But, I just wanted to ask you one thing. What was your goal or resolution for 2016?
I do not set goals for the year. I just do what I think I need to do for the year. So, when 2015 was ending, Joseph, I didn't say, I got to do this in 2016. I just tackle every issue I have in my life or my personal life, my family life. And go forward from there. That's why I've always done it that way.
Okay. Now, what do you think about setting goals or resolutions to reach a certain goal?
That's good. You don't have to put a time limit on it, though. I don't think you have to say, this year I'm going to do this. The next, you know, if you need to set a goal for something, do it right now. Do it. You know, don't waste time waiting for the year to come. You know, let's assume we're in May. You know, don't look for 2018 to do it. Just do it now. And that's what I've always done.
Uh-huh. Thank you, George.
All right, Joe. Check in with us during the holidays, too, and especially during the anniversary party on January 1st. I want all our regular friends here at Coast to Coast to check in with us. Let's go to Viola, west of the Rockies in Glendale, Arizona. Good morning, Viola.
Good morning, George. I'm so happy to talk to you. You're just a terrific person. I'm going to tell you about the most horrible thing that happened to me in my life.
Oh, what happened?
I am 79 years old now. 2 years ago, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm having a nightmare. I'm sitting on a couch, and a 30-foot python comes slithering through the doorway and comes up on the couch beside me, raised up Ooh. Above me. And I thought, in this dream, I thought, if I just give him an uppercut, I'll knock him backwards so I can jump off this couch and run out the door. Well, that's exactly what I did. And I stood up on my bed in my sleep, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I jumped off my bed to try to get up. You know, in the dream, I was on a couch to get out the door. Well, I'm very small, very agile for my age, get around real good. And I ended up in the middle of my bedroom from the bed and fractured my hip at 3 o'clock in the morning.
No.
The pain, oh, my God, the pain was so horrible, it woke me up.
Did you call an ambulance? What'd you do?
No, I'm such a strong, positive-minded person. I couldn't walk, and my brother lives with me. He was in the back room. He didn't hear me yelling. I managed to crawl and get out the door, and I didn't get to the hospital emergency till 6 o'clock that evening because
oh my God.
I always get better. I thought, well, I'll feel better in a few hours or maybe by tomorrow, but I didn't. So I go to the urgent care. They sent me to the hospital. I had fractured my hip. Really fractured it.
That hurts, too.
Oh, yes. But the amazing part of the story is I was in the hospital, and they asked me how it happened. I was embarrassed. Really, it's kind of funny now because I'm not really phobic about snakes. They don't bother me at all. You know, my teenagers raised pythons and boas. And in the house, and it didn't bother me as long as they kept them caged up. But I was so embarrassed, I thought, oh my goodness, these people, here I am, a little 5'2", at the time I was probably 110 pounds, they probably think I was drunk or hallucinating, and I was embarrassed to tell them what happened, but I did. A week later, I walked into the surgeon's office on a walker, walking pretty good. He said, oh, my goodness, you're 77 years old. I never see people do this well, you know, 5 or so days after hip surgery. And I said, watch this. And I turned loose of that walker, and I stooped all the way down without holding on and stood back up.
Jeez.
He was amazed.
And how do you feel now, Viola?
Great. In August, I almost died. I had 2 more parts of my intestines and part of my stomach removed.
Oh, my God.
Congestive heart failure. Was in the hospital in intensive care for 2 weeks. Came home. That was in August. September, Labor Day, I went into congestive heart failure again. Went in for 10 more days. I'm doing great. And that was in October.
You keep fighting. Hey, thanks for the call. They said that Alan Thicke, dead at the age of 69 from a heart attack, had a ruptured aorta, and doctors tried to save him. They split him open, but they could not do that. Great guy, by the way. I know some friends who knew him well, and they said just a super guy. Anyways, we take your texts and your tweets, and Tom's back in the L.A. studio, and with the power of technology, we flip a switch. And there he is.
So you know what I'm thinking? What if that snake story happened to you?
I hate snakes.
You'd freak out.
And I want everybody to know what kind of great guy Tom Danheiser is.
Here it
my
goes.
Producer.
Here it goes.
When I'm in the cave in St. Louis, I have my computers and my setup and everything else, and I'm connected to Los Angeles. And I'm connected to Tom in a very special programmatic way. and he knows I don't like clowns, and he knows I don't really like snakes. He posts a picture. He's got the ability to take almost control of my computer. He posts a picture on my computer of a snake with a clown's face. And this thing was about 9 inches long, just looking right at me. Not funny, Tom.
You need to face your fears, George.
Not funny.
Face your fears.
Yeah, you're going to face yours.
Okay, so we're going to take a text right now.
Right.
It's from Jeff in Santa Clara, California. I liked your last guest, and I was wondering, diet and exercise is a common New Year's resolution. We all know it works. So for a lot of people, what is it about the brain, what do you think, George, that doesn't make us get on that treadmill or eat healthy and stay fit?
Laziness. You can do it right now. Don't wait for the new year to do that. If you need to be fit, you get fit today. Take supplements, you know, do what you have to do, and, you know, make yourself the kind of person you should be. Don't wait for the new year to do that.
But it's your brain that's stopping you, I think.
No, I think it's inside of you. It's
just
who
something
you are
in
as
you.
A person. Yep. And what else you have?
Let's see. We got another text from Samantha in Deming, New Mexico. Do you find most people who are not spiritual are open to changing?
People who are not spiritual, if they're open to changing. You know what? I've never thought of that. Never thought of that at all. I would think people who are not spiritual are a little more pragmatic.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a belief system in many things. And they might be a little more rigid, I guess, if that answers your question.
Probably does. The ones I talk to, I don't think they're...
All right, Tom, we'll talk to you at the half.
Got it.
When we come back. Let's go to Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Hello there, Barry.
Still waiting for that autographed picture of you, George.
Well, listen, when I get back to L.A., where all my pictures are...
I see.
And does Tommy have your address?
Absolutely, he sure does.
I will personally get it right out to you.
I tell you what, buddy, you're a heck of a guy, and I just told Tommy, I said, I want to talk to him. And I tell you what, George, that last guest, May, she has got a head full of brains.
Oh, my gosh.
I wish I had followed my intuitive thinking when I was 20 years old. I was an entrepreneur, I thought, and started up a business. And, George, if I'd have just waited 2 or 3 more years, I'd have been a millionaire.
Oh.
My rational thinking took over, and I went back to what I was already making. And so forth, and doggone if somebody else didn't do the same thing I had come up with and made the millions.
Well, you know what? I was years ago starting to do what Netflix is doing today. And, you know, I was dabbling in that. We were producing programs. It was doing real well, but I was so far ahead of myself, and it just didn't work for us. But then I see what Netflix is doing with its own programming now and everything else, and I'm going, wow, we had that plan, except we were 25 years ahead of time.
I'm telling you, I felt the same way, George. But let me break over to the craziest doggone story you mentioned saying.
Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, though, is Lotto Fanthorpe doing good? Is he going to be live Friday night?
No, he's on tape, and to be very honest with you, he's had some health issues. Tom talked to him about a week ago, and you know, he's taking it easy, but he's not that well right now. So throw him in the prayer batch.
Well, I tell you what, buddy, that guy, I could listen to his voice for hours and hours, George.
He's one of a kind.
I'm telling you, here's a crazy story for you, pal.
Okay.
Roll the clock back, 1972, Allman Brothers Band from right down here in Macon, Georgia. They are rocking the United States, and, buddy, I get on the tour bus with them. With the booking agent, buddy of mine, right till today, he's made $10 million in the last 2 years with REM and Widespread Panic. And he's just a great guy. And he said, come on, Barry, go on a tour. I was just out of college with a biochemistry degree, working for a pharmaceutical company. I had all the best pills, George. I mean, I could speed up during the day and rock and roll the nights and take a Quaalude or a Valium and get to sleep on the tour bus. George, I lasted 3 weeks. And I mean, I was burned out.
Yeah, that's a rough life.
Lost 15 pounds, George, and I said, God, I've got to get out of here quick.
I don't know how our buddy Billy Gibbons does it. He is still touring with his group, and those guys have more energy than most 22-year-old kids.
Listen, Sammy Hagar is the same way, and I'm telling you, he doesn't even need the drugs. George, you have to leave the drugs and especially the alcohol alone.
You sure do. That's right.
And when you mix the two, buddy, you take off on a roller coaster ride, up and down, and up and down.
You got that right. Barry, thanks. Brandy in San Antonio, Texas is with us. Hi, Brandy.
Hi.
How are you?
If I got any better, I would cancel my life insurance.
Oh, I love
and
it.
My health insurance.
I love it. What's going on?
Hey, you want a crazy story?
I want a crazy story.
A crazy story.
All right.
I started a nonprofit Christian ministry.
You did?
This fall. Uh-huh.
Out of the blue? You just decided to do this? Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't out of the blue. God told me how to do it, and I followed his directions, and guess what? It's fabulous.
And who's the minister? You?
I am.
Well, good for you.
Anyway, through a comedy of errors, I was locked up in a mental hospital the middle of this month against my will.
How did that happen?
Oh, it's too long a story, and I got too much good stuff to tell you.
Oh, right.
While I was in the mental hospital, almost in a padded cell, I got to pull on my knowledge of the law and my recent knowledge about people who are A, senior citizens, which I am proudly, B, under a doctor's care full-time, which I am, not so proudly, and see the rights until you are committed by a court order. And I very nicely and firmly kept insisting, let me out of here.
Of course.
And it took me 17 hours, but I got out. I escaped.
That is crazy. You escaped? Did they come after you?
I felt like I escaped.
Did they leave you alone?
No, I had a wonderful roommate, and I now believe she was an angel. The Bible talks about angels unawares that you entertain.
Who put you in the mental institution?
The police.
Why?
Oh, it's too long a story.
Well, I mean, you must have done something. Do you want to tell us?
Yes. Yeah, I have life alert because I'm very critically...
All right, hold on for a second. We're going to hit the break, Brandy, but I want to find out how you got put in an institution and whether they're going to try to pull you back in. Wow, that is a crazy story. Literally. I'm George Norrie. We're going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with more of your open line calls and crazy calls. Okay, we are back for our final segment of Open Lines. We got a great program in store for you tomorrow, and also for the first couple hours, Dr. Joanna Conaway joins us from criticalhealthnews.com to take your holiday phone calls about taking care of yourself. I went out and picked up some more supplements yesterday just to keep stocked up. Let's go back to Brandy in San Antonio, Texas. Okay, so first of all, is your ministry still intact, Brandy?
Never been better.
Great. Okay, so you were in a institution. Somebody, how did they admit you? What did you do?
Well, let me tell you what happened.
All right.
I'm critically sick from a side effect, a rare, rare side effect from a prescription drug.
All right, I believe that, too.
The doctor bullied me into taking it. I've already taken it once before, 4 or 5 years ago, and it did that.
All right.
I stopped after 3 days. That time, I listened to my body. This time, I was in a more deteriorating medical, mental health condition, and I let the man bully me. I mean, he's a doctor. Wouldn't you listen to a doctor?
Yeah, you generally believe the guy, right?
Yeah. So he kept saying, Brandy, your body has to adjust. You didn't give it enough time. You really need to lower your A1C. I told him, hey, doc, I finally saw the light when it came to this diabetes mess. And I want to try to do it the natural way now. Please let me. Give me 90 days and test my blood again. And I'll show you I can do it. No, 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 no. No, no, my darling. I now believe he was getting a kickback from the pharmaceuticals.
So he was giving you a drug to lower your glucose levels, right?
That's right. That's
right. All right.
Which was high. I guarantee you it was high. But I had figured it all out about diet and exercise, and I was implementing changes on my own successfully.
All right, so during all of this, let's get to how they admitted you in an institution. What happened?
Well, I had life alert because I'm so fragile.
Sure.
From the side effects of this drug. I couldn't find anyone to come over and talk to me. All of my friends and family abandoned me. And if you don't think this can happen to you, you are crazy.
Well, they obviously
mental
thought you
illness is a lot larger than quote unquote bipolar.
All right. But somebody had to come and admit you.
I called Life Alert and asked them to take me to 911 emergency room.
Which is what they're supposed to do when you use the service.
That's right. And I was crying hysterically. I was hysterical. I was desperate. I knew I needed help. I wanted help. The Life Alert operator decided I was certifiably insane.
Over the phone.
Uh-huh, because I was crying. I was crying. I need help. Somebody help me. I've got to have help. Please send an ambulance to get me to the hospital.
And so they sent the police instead.
Well, they tipped off the police behind my back. See, the Life Alert operator thought he knew more than anybody. And he told the police, this woman's insane.
So they showed up at your house and they take you away?
Well, they asked me questions, and they rolled their eyeballs as if they were judging me. And then the paramedics arrived 20 minutes later. Paramedics took my vitals, and they continued to ask questions between the police and the paramedics. They were asking me the most obnoxious questions you've ever heard. I just wanted to go to the hospital. Hello?
Yeah.
So I finally... I was having a nervous meltdown.
Right in front of them.
I picked up a paperback book and I threw it at the sheetrock to the west of me. All the police were to the east of me. I didn't assault them. I assaulted a sheetrock wall with a paperback book.
But they saw you throw the book.
Yeah. And they decided I was dangerous.
So how long were you in this place?
I didn't get to go in the ambulance. The police decided I needed to go in the squad car. You know, with the glass window in between?
And that means they cuffed you, right?
No, they didn't cuff me. Oh, however, there was four police officers, and they were walking north, south, east, and west of my body, escorting me to the car. And I'm saying, what's going on? What's going on? This is embarrassing. I live here. This is my home. You're not under arrest, Miss Johnson. We're going to take you to the hospital just like you want.
Wow. So that's what they did. So how long were you in there?
I was in the ER of the hospital from 8:30 p.m. that night until they transported me to a psych ward where I was admitted at 4:17 in the morning Friday.
In the psych ward. And how long were you in there?
I didn't get out until 9:30 that night, 17 hours later.
All right. And when you left, did you leave on your own, or did you, like you said, you escaped? What happened?
I had 3.5 hours interviews with the psychiatrist, and guess what they told me?
What did they say?
You're not crazy. You need help. You need mental health evaluation and assistance, but you're not crazy.
So they said you're not supposed to be here, so they let you go?
Yeah.
Well, good. That's the way to do it. Keep the ministry going, Brandy. Keep it going. Kenny in Woodland, California now. Welcome to the show. Hi, Kenny.
Well, praise the Lord, George, that you're even talking to me. I'm honored.
Well, of course I'm talking to you. Why not?
Well, you know, bottom line is you mentioned the crazy line, and I'd like to join that. I used to call the wild card line, kind of thinking that was part of it. Is this an evolution?
This is a little. This is just a one nighter for a while. So have some fun with it.
Okay, now I got to tell you, 1981-82, Long Beach, California. I'm going to Needles, California, which is right on the California-Arizona border. And we're with a born-again Christian group, and we're having fun. But I'm with all my high school friends who I said, I went this way because my sister's in it, and, you know, we're having fun.
Sure.
You see kind of the way I'm thinking, but I bring my high school buddies, too. All right, now we go and we cruise down with canoes, and there's going to be I had been on it the year before. There's going to be a baptism in the middle, like on a sandbar, halfway between Needles, California, and Lake Havasu.
An old-fashioned lake baptism.
What I don't realize is that we are now lagging behind the entire born-again Christian group. We pull up about maybe an hour after the baptism occurs, and we're high on lysergic acid. And we never realized, because we saw the red earth out there, we saw everything that was beautiful on each side of the Colorado River. And we never felt any negativity until we came up into that.
Oh, really?
And we just, all of a sudden, they're going, well, hey, we're feeling negativity. They're saying, you should have stuck with the group. About time you guys showed up, and we're like, wow.
They turned on you.
It ruined our entire trip. Huh. And then we had to separate again because we were certainly not going to stay with them. We just slept along the shores of the Colorado River. You know, I don't have anything negative to say about Christians.
Oh, no, of course not. But here's the bottom line, Kenny. Be very careful about the company you keep. Tom, final tweet or text? What do you have for us?
We have a text from Jason in Bangor, Maine. Over the years, what's the best Christmas present you've ever received?
Oh, I got to tell you, gosh.
Good question.
I wanted to save this for Friday.
You don't have to answer.
So let me just say this. I will say this on Friday, what it is. It was just how it happened. I've talked about it before, but it was a tearjerker to me.
Can we switch it and say that what is the best present you've ever given? Or will that kind of give away what you want to talk about?
I got my granddaughter a car, a little tiny Honda Fit.
Whoa, that's a good present.
A long time ago, and we put a big bow around it, kept it hidden in my garage, and gave her a little box to open. That's all she had. And, you know, she's looking at everybody. She's a beautiful girl. And she's looking at everybody's presents. And they're opening up all their presents and their toys and stuff. And she is, she must have been 18 when I got it for her.
And she just has a little box,
and
right?
She get this little tiny box. That's all she got. And, you know, she smiled and she, you know, it was great. And she opens it up and there are car keys in there. And it doesn't dawn on her yet that this is her car. And finally it hit her and she starts crying. And, you know, crying of happiness, Tom. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that moment.
That's a great present.
Yeah.
So let's go with a text here also from Tracy in Portland, Oregon. I want to switch the hotline on you. What's the craziest story in your life?
Ooh, I've had a few.
See, you're taking everybody's.
I've had a few. What is the craziest story? Let me think about that, though. The craziest story that I've ever had. Here's one. Tell me if this is good. When I was in high school, in college, then I was on my way to college first year or so, I worked full-time at the Edison Brothers shoe stores called Baker's. And I was I made money as a kid. You know, 19 years old, 20 years old, I made a fortune selling shoes part-time. And we used to put our shoehorn underneath our watch band in our on our arms, right? So when you had to put the shoe on the person, you take your finger, you know where the little hook is on the shoehorn?
Okay.
You pull it out because it's in your watch band.
Right, right.
You pull it out and you just, you know, put it there in the shoe and in their foot goes and it's done. Well, somebody was sitting in a chair. They wanted some shoes, and I figure I'm going to get my shoehorn ready because they already had the shoes picked out on their own. So I put my finger in the little horn section to pull it out, and that thing shot off like a rocket ship and hit this person right in the head. And they
like went, a customer?
Yeah. They went down. Didn't cut them or anything, but it just went boom, hit them right in the head.
Oh, my God.
They went down. They fell in their chair. Everybody came running around, and that was crazy.
Okay, so I know you think I'm going to be trying to be funny, but I'm not. Did you ever, like, come across, like, smelly feet?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, I could tell you stories off the air that would just curl your eyebrows.
I'm sure I'll hear them later.
More than smelly feet, let me tell you.
That's awesome.
What time is it? It's almost time to say goodnight.
It's almost time to say goodnight.
Do I have time for Linda?
Let's
go to Mike in Ithaca, New York. Mike, only have a minute left, so I may have to cut you short, but go ahead.
As fast as I can.
Okay.
I'll cut to the chase.
All right.
According to David Deutsch at Oxford, the beam of certain brands of laser pointers are the overlap from many parallel universes at the same time.
Hmm.
And I didn't know that. So I got my first laser pointer from the Cornell campus store, and I used it to make a reading machine because I'm visually impaired.
Okay.
I'm blind now. And the beam would go through a transparency, and it was as wide as a letter. It would then bounce off a silver globe and produce a blow-up of a letter on a big screen, and that's how I read. By sliding the transparency around on a pane of glass, I could scan it and read the letters one at a time. And when the laser beam burned out, laser pointer, I had to get a new one, but I had moved. So I was 2 miles from Cornell, but only 3 blocks from the Staples. And when my driver, I wasn't well enough to walk it, my driver wouldn't take the time to take me to Cornell. He'd only take me to Staples.
Well, speaking of time, Mike, I did run out. But, hey, we've got open lines coming up all week. So check in and let's finish up that story about the laser pointer. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.